Amen. Amen. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Well, if you don't know how sweet he is, you might need to see me afterwards. But it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray that all is well with you. Good to have those of you that are visiting with us this morning. Want you to know that you are our honored guests. And the message is always designed with you in mind that you may be able to raise some questions in reference to your soul salvation. And then for those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you, remind you that God expects us to live up to what we have voluntarily said we would do. In Genesis chapter 1, in round about verse number 26, the Bible said, "Let us make man in our image. In the image he made them, both male and female." Genesis chapter 2, and round about verse number 26, the Bible says, God caused a deep sleep upon Adam, and he took a rib out of Adam, and he made woman out of man. And Adam said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, for this is woman, she is taken out of man." And then Jesus, God said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to their wife, and they two shall be one." In Ephesians chapter 5 and round about verse number 30, Paul echoes this same declaration that was given in the very beginning of time. He says, "For this cause shall man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. These two shall be one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Mm-hmm. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. And Christ expects us to live up to our vows. Amen. Of who we say we love. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, as we look at this morning's lesson, I want to encourage us and remind us, as God's people, God has called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And so this morning, as we look at Acts chapter 8, I want to look at an individual here that seems to be religious, that seems to have all the right things going on in his life, but he still needs Jesus. Sound like some of us? Life is pretty good, isn't it?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Grits in the pantry, loaf of bread under both arms. It sounds like you're doing all right to me. But are you doing it with God in mind? And I'm going to show you an individual here this morning that understood the importance of worship, even though he was not a Jew. But he understood the Jewish concept. And so therefore he was a proselyte into the Jewish faith, and he understood the importance that when the first day of the week rolled around, or when worship rolled around, his job, no matter where he was at, he was going to go worship the God of heaven. That's us, isn't it?
Amen.
No matter where, huh? No matter where you're at, you're going to take time to visit the house of the Lord. Y'all quiet. But I'm going to show you an individual that really understood that. He did not let the secular world dictate to him his relationship to his God. That's what we're talking about this morning, huh? Let not the secular world dictate to who we are. Who are we?
Children of God.
Only a couple people know that. Huh? We're children of the Most High God. And if God be for you, who can stop you? What can hinder you? And what has hindered you? I know what hinders you. Your own self. And until you get out of self, God will never, ever be able to work with you. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny his very existence." That's what it means. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And then Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? How many of us have changed our soul for the cares of this world? Y'all quiet. I'm just raising some questions, but if I'm down your street, how you doing this morning? In this text here, I want to show you an individual that understood a relationship to God. And no matter what came up, first and foremost was God. Can we say that?
Amen.
Ooh, I'm going to go on and read this now. In Acts chapter 8, and round about verse number 26, the Bible talks about an individual here that I believe shows an example that when God is first and foremost in your life, nothing or no one on this time side of life will hinder you in doing what God requires of you. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto a way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gazer, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Queen Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. Individual that has a responsibility. He knows his position. His position is he is over the treasury for the United States of America. I'm just ad-libbing that here. And you would think if he's the one, the name is on that dollar bill that you have in your pocket. His first priority should be to the U.S., right? Or to the Queen. But I want to show you that his first priority was to God. And he didn't get it mixed up. The Bible said he was under great authority under Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was riding and sitting in his chariot on the first day of the week reading the Bible. I just wrote that in there. It ain't in there, but it is in there. The Bible says he was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Well, what was he doing? Reading his Bible. How often we pick our Bible up when we're going to the store? How often do we pick our Bible up when we're going to get something to eat? How often do we pick our Bible up, just pick it up? Amen, Walls. I talked to the Walls. Y'all don't have to talk to me this morning. The Bible says in verse number 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. If I was to rewrite that, I would say, then the Spirit said unto the Christian, there's somebody that's lost. Go out here and join yourself to that individual that is lost. Amen. Can I draw that out of that? Can I take that application out of there? I think I can. I'm staying with the scripture. The Bible says, and Philip and the Christian ran to find somebody that was lost.
Amen.
Amen. If it ain't real, it don't mean anything. See, the pages of the Word of God has to be inspired enough to our lives that it makes a change in our lives. Philip is an individual that God has chosen to speak to this man from Ethiopia. And the Spirit tells Philip, go join yourself. And Philip has an urgency that I don't believe we have. When it's time to save a soul, I can't find you. When it's time to save a soul, we got a million and one excuses. The Bible says when Philip was told to join himself to the chariot, the Bible said he ran. Half of y'all don't get busy running unless you got something juicy to tell on somebody else. Amen, Walls. The Bible says that the Spirit told Philip to go join himself, and the Bible said, and he ran hither to him. And hearing him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou read? How many of y'all understand what you got in your hand? How many of you understand that you've been called out of darkness into a marvelous light, and that your job is to seek and to save the lost? How many of us really understand that? Because this individual here raises a question to the prophet. Verse number 31, he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Church, that's all we're trying to do here, is guide you to the truth. It's to let you know that one day you're going to be called from labor to the other side. And when he calls you, you know how you give me all these excuses? You ain't going to be able to give him none. He's going to pop in that DVD or that CD, and he's going to have it all there. Then what you going to say? The Bible says, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humility, he was judged. His judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. The Bible says in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom does the prophet speak? Of himself or of some other man? And verse 35 is very, very important to the believer. You know why it's so important? Because if you can't take this book and open up any part of this book and show that Jesus is the author and finisher of our life, I venture to say you might not really know him. Amen. I know that's some hard stuff. But if you can't open up the Word of God and show my Lord and Savior, maybe you really don't know him. I'm not picking on nobody. I'm not throwing no rocks. But it's my job. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tent of this tabernacle, I need to stir up your mind by way of remembering. Because Paul said, I will shortly put off this tent of this tabernacle. I know one day I'm going to leave here. Yes, I don't want your blood on my hands. Yes, I got enough of my own. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I must tell you what God says, whether it sounds pleasant to you or not. And I've learned that when you reject, you're not rejecting me. So I love everybody. Smile. You're rejecting the word. The Bible says in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went down the way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does hinder me that I should not be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest that with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. And Philip baptized the eunuch. And when they had come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more. But Philip was found in Azotha. Title of the lesson this morning is, what must I do that I might be saved? Very powerful passage of scripture, because this individual here realized that he needed Jesus Christ. He had the mindset, he had the attitude of really trying to serve God. And that's all God really requires of each and every one of us. He wants us to have the mindset, the attitude that I want to serve you regardless of my circumstances and situation. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This individual here was on his way to Jerusalem to worship, but he worshiped not what he really understood. And I sometimes wonder, do we really understand what God has called us to do? He's called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. He has called you and I to be the light that is so badly needed in a dying world in which we live in. In Matthew chapter 5 and round about verse 13 and following, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A light that's set on a candle cannot be hid. You are the light of the city, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Question is, how is your light? Have you switched over to LED? Lord, lead me. Are you still on the watts or the whoats? I want to encourage you this. Some of y'all got it, but the rest of y'all gone on back to sleep. I'm finished. I just want to encourage you to stop and think about your soul salvation. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, God has cleaned us up for one purpose. Luke 19, verse number 10, he's cleaned us up to seek and to save that which is lost. He's cleaned us up in James chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. James says, pure he who looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? You got to stay in the Word of God. You got to let God be the most focal point of your life. It was the psalmist that said, in Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." And in that law, the psalmist said he meditates day and night. And I'm learning that when you stay in the book, boy, God just does this operation on you to where your mind focuses really on what's truly important on this time side of life. I want to encourage you, saints, to stop and think about what God has really blessed us with. He's given us everything we need to perform the duties that he has set before us. And he said in Luke chapter 6, and round about verse number 46, he said, "Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you?" Peter reminds us that God has given us everything we need. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 3, the Bible says, "According to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us the exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then in verse number 5 through 11, Peter reminds us it's this constant adding on in our faith that helps us to reach the plateaus that God would have us to reach. He says, "And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Man, how can you get that certain? Only through the Word of God. And then he says in verse number 11, "And so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And then for those of you that are here this morning that may not be part of the body of Christ, I just stopped by this morning to tell you God wants you to be saved. Amen. He wants you to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. He wants you to obey from the heart. First Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, the gospel I declare unto you, whereby you..." My brain just went dead. I want to read that because that is very important. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and whereby ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I have received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So what is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how do I obey that gospel? I'm glad you asked me. By hearing his word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe that this is the inspired word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The Bible says we must repent of our sins. Luke 13:5. "Tell you nay, except you repent, you'll perish." Then the Bible says you must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men," he says, "I'll deny you before my Father." And all of that brings us unto salvation. You're not saved until you get into the watery grave of baptism. I know, contrary to popular belief, baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, but my Bible says baptism places me into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now. And I ain't the smartest, but I know what N-O-W means. That means right now. That saves us now. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. And then God didn't leave it to place where you need to go. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says the body is the church and the church is the body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 has placed all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things, which is the church, which is his body. And as you become part of the body of Christ, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, you must remain faithful to him, not to me. Because if you were faithful to me, I'd probably give some of y'all some bad marks, wouldn't I? Amen, Wall. If I would give you bad marks, what you think he gonna give you? I want to encourage you, whether you be in the body or out of the body, stop and think about this eunuch. This man had great authority. And in the process of all of his authority, he didn't lose sight of God. And if you don't know what a eunuch is, I'll tell you, he's an individual that has been made without a desire for a woman, or he's given up his desire that he might serve whoever he's in charge of. He was a eunuch to the queen. So he was made a eunuch so he would serve her without any desire for her. That's deep. How many of us have made up our mind we're going to serve God regardless of whatever transpires in our life? And see, and only you can make that decision. And when you make that decision, just look out, because Satan's going to be all over you, because he does not want you to serve God. But I hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. I want to remind you that we're only promised 70. And after death, the judgment seat is there. Want to remind you and encourage you, stay on track, church. Don't allow Satan to get the upper hand on you. Don't become weary in the things that you do for the Lord. And don't allow me or anybody else to dictate to you your level of spirituality. Amen. That must come from God in your relationship with him. Amen. And then those of you visiting, I hope and pray I've said something that will stimulate your mind. The eunuch asked the question, what must I do? Can I be saved? And he said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the eunuch and Philip went in the water and Philip baptized him into the name, into the body of Christ. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.